Today marks the 63rd anniversary of the Women's March, in which more than 20,000 women of all races and ages from every corner of South Africa marched together towards the union buildings in Pretoria in protest against pass laws which the apartheid government had in place at the time. This afternoon, or later on today rather, President Cyril Ramaphosa will deliver the keynote address at the National Women's Day event, which I believe is in the Northwest Province this year. The Deputy Minister in the Presidency for Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities, Professor Hlengiwe Mkhize, joins me on the line now. Professor, very good morning and happy Women's Day to you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you to the listeners as well. Happy Women's Day to you all.
Unfortunately, 25 years into democracy, a lived experience of the average woman in South Africa is still not ideal. There was a flashing statistic my news wires earlier that saying up to 3 women die every day at the hands of people that they know, their partners, their loved ones. We know of the socioeconomic challenges that women are facing on a daily basis. And I imagine these are some of the key issues that the president will be speaking to a little bit later today.
I think I fully agree. The president has been fairly open into reconfiguring even departments to ensure that government is able to decisively tackle serious social ills and crimes like the ones you have referred to. You remember last year he held a summit himself looking at the nature, the extent, and the dynamics, and what should be done of gender-based violence and femicide. And out of that, there are clear directives to all departments, justice, how to strengthen their system, and so on. And the very configuration of the Women's Department to include youth and persons with disability is another attempt to say, let's look as all these special groups under one roof so that we don't try and make interventions for one group in isolation. And so almost all government departments then within the 7 priorities that government has looked at are tackling these issues towards ensuring that they are eliminated. Poverty, where we are in Freiburg, where the president will be talking, is a big issue. We had a workshop on women and ICT. It was conducted by the Department of Communication and Digital Technologies. So the women who were trained, more than 50% of them, bright, young, vibrant, innovative, said were unemployed, usually poor, living with men in shacks. Then they're abusing us, they leave us with children. So it's clear we've made gains in some areas, but in others we still face huge challenges.
And perhaps let's focus on areas where we have made gains, because I truly believe in shining the spotlight in those centers of excellence, finding out what made those opportunities excel in the way that they do and see if we can implement it in other parts of the country. So what would have been some of those gains that you think we can highlight, particularly since that summit last year, but especially over the last 25 years in this country?
You know, if I look at different sectors, I would say women have made entry into spaces which were traditionally identified as male spaces. For instance, things like aviation, engineering, defense. Recently, we saw quite a number of young pilots who have been trained, who were proud to be able to fly around and lead and go even to other countries. I think it was last year or 2 years ago where we had a South African airline going to Brazil. The crew was basically all women, including the pilot. So there are success stories also you see in science and technology. We've seen the awards, not only the awards, which are academic, but also women really playing a role in innovations in the medical field, in research, and so on. I've just mentioned a few. But the challenge, I think, has been we haven't followed our policies to a point where you'll find that there are people, for instance, who will benefit from our policies by entering companies, but we don't track and follow through what's happened to them. Why are women not getting into senior positions? Why are women not dominating our board of directors? Why are women not dominating the Johannesburg Stock Exchange, even those entrepreneurs that we've acknowledged? What happens to them? So those are some of the challenges, I think, as we focus on not only older women, but also younger women as well, who are really in the majority of this country, who are battling as entrepreneurs and looking for economic opportunities, job placement, that we ensure that they were not thinking about entry, but we are thinking about growth within the system to excellence. And if we don't put our eye on that, 20 years time will still be talking about vulnerable groups. The same applies to persons with disabilities. We have policies, we've spoken about them. They have been in the presidency as special groups, but we haven't really looked at the implementation. We had a workshop here in Rustenburg 2 days ago. One woman said, I had to leave teaching because the wheelchair, I couldn't move the wheelchair around. Some, they drop out early because of a minor visual deficit. With modern technology, which a person could be assisted and be competitive like any other person, or hearing a deficit. So there are all these things which I think we've had policies, but our implementation has been really problematic. People not fighting to say it's a policy in this country to employ disabled people. What do we do to ensure that they succeed? So we can only strengthen our implementation pathways and be held accountable and us play oversight.
Because that's where the disconnect is, isn't it? I mean, certainly government has led the way in many ways in ensuring that the National Assembly is representative of the demographics. We've had not once but twice deputy presidents of this country being female. There's a very healthy representation of women in cabinet. And yet that doesn't seem to translate to a Gogo Dlamini, as a previous public protector used to refer to the ideal South African that she is serving ultimately, because, you know, as I alluded to earlier, three women will most likely die at the hands of their partners today. We know of heinous crimes like corrective rape that are committed in some communities in Cape Town to this day because a woman is lesbian and a man feels that they're right to correct that, which is the most disgusting thing I have ever heard. These are the lived experiences of women on the ground, despite the representation, if you like, of women at the highest level of government. So while I know you don't, as a deputy minister, sit in cabinet, I'm hoping that those cabinet meetings that happen on a weekly basis, that this issue comes up time and time and time again. How do we get the various departments working together to improve the plight of all people, but especially women? How do you make sure that Minister Bekicele, for example, has in place resources that will ensure that there are rape kits available at all the police stations, so that somebody who is a perpetrator of a crime of rape will then be caught and evidence will be documented that can be used in a court of law?
Yeah, thank you very much for bringing that issue of equal representation in cabinet and in parliament. You know, maybe if I can just briefly reflect on this. We are having different conversations as of today. Remember, I've been a minister in two different departments, education and home affairs, higher education and home affairs. The usual problem within our system has been that in the past, if I'm sitting, maybe my colleague is passing a legislation, wants cabinet to approve a legislation or policy. The tendency has been, I will reflect a bit and see and analyze it from a gender point of view. But sometimes there's this human tendency of thinking in silos. It doesn't really affect my department, so you allow it to go through. I think the good thing now, the emphasis has been that let's think in an integrated, coordinated manner, and nothing will go through if all the angles have not been looked at by different sectors. So nothing completely new, but I think, you know, the mindset and the emphasis will intimidate all of us not to just allow. You know, it's so funny the way our system is rigorous. When there's a policy or legislation, we'll all have a bite. There are cabinet committees before cabinet. No, even deputy minister will say, oh, I was not aware. It has been a different mindset of thinking in silos, in my view, which have really delayed us in seeing gains. Same applies to Parliament, National Assembly, or the NCOP. But as of today, whether it's the justice cluster, what they're saying, all the other clusters have a duty and a responsibility to rigorously look at those from a gender perspective, from a perspective of its potential impact on young people, and also from a perspective of saying, how does it enable the disabled? So we've really been instructed to put the vulnerable group at the center so as to take this country forward. The 25-year review was really helpful to show us of vulnerabilities, irrespective of policies that are acclaimed worldwide.
Let me ask this as a parting question, Deputy Minister. What are your department's measurables? I know the President has sat with each of the cabinet ministers, and between them, they had to come up with, this is what I'm going to be measured on over this period of time. What are your department's measurables when it comes to particularly issues of women?
You know, the issue that you have referred to of gender-based violence, the cases that judges have had to deal with, it's top of our agenda. I'm not going to go into details, but even there, when we look at the declaration that the president signed with civil society, is strengthening support system to Tuzela centers, is looking at sexual offenses courts. Remember, those courts were introduced years back. We didn't expand them. We didn't ensure that they are effective. But the president has said, let them work for the benefit of affected young people. So conversations are across the system. Another top priority is this issue of the poverty, women being the sight, the face of poverty. We have started conversations with the Department of Trade and Industries to look at how their incentives, the tax benefits that sometimes, especially multinational companies, through the special economic zones, benefit women directly. For years, we're talking BEE, then we spoke triple B, broad-based, but still it really didn't touch real people beyond the top echelons of top guys, well-known, powerful in society. So that is also a big issue. You know, in our workshop here yesterday, we were talking about countries where they have even earmarked in Asian countries, if you, the airlines will want people who will clean some of their staff each time the airline lands. It's taken to a center where disabled people can clean it, package it, it's taken back to the airline. And some car manufacturing companies, they also have, in some countries, work that is given to disabled people who will help with leather for seats, for this and so on. So it's really a consciousness that then we'll have to be engaging trade and industry on and continuing to see how we benefit real numbers of people.
We'll leave it there. Thank you very much, Professor Hlengiwe Mkhize, Deputy Minister in the Presidency for Women.